Doc was last to leave. He tapped the set code to close the door, lingering as it ground slowly shut, taking a last look at the interior before it was finally cut off from view.
Fairly well, bitches.
Doc could recall little with any clarity these past few hours. It was only when he had moments of such stark recognition that he realized what he had become. Old before his time, and not even allowed to be within the constraints of that time. He was an exile. Something else came back to him.
Home? I have no home. Driven out from those that I love, I...
He stopped, his brow furrowing as he sought the words that seemed to scatter away in his mind. What was that? And where had he heard it? As was everything, it was shrouded in a mist of confusion. His very being seemed to be nebulous, hidden even from himself. How did he know that everything he had seen and experienced had been true? He remembered his Descartes and the Frenchman's espousal of an idea that it was possible that all he saw was not true, just something placed in front of his eyes by an evil genius who sought to deceive him. On first reading this, he had thought it an intriguing conceit, and had argued with friends and colleagues on the inherent absurdity of the idea. But now he wasn't so sure. As the door finally closed, who was not to say that it wasn't merely another shutter in a long procession of such? A curtain brought down on the stage while the scenery was changed, made ready for the next act.
Doc, are you listening?
Pardon?
The old man turned to find Mildred looking back at him, her face almost obscured by the hood of her padded coat, the snorkel design taking it over her features and hiding her expression. Doc tried to make himself function, but all he could think was, what if she is not real? The ambiguity paralyzed him. He knew that if all this were genuine, then he had to move, keep up just to survive. But if not, then...
What the hell is wrong with you? It's just as well I thought to look back, otherwise we would have lost you already. We haven't got more than 100 yards from the redoubt, and you've already nearly vanished on us.
My dear doctor, I must apologize. I have not been myself.
Then who are you?
I shall try to, as you would say, snap out of it.
Mildred's expression, still partially obscured by her hood, softened.
We all felt weird in there, Doc. Even me, and I wasn't here before. It's okay. We can just walk away. Come on, let's go.
Doc Tanner followed, words and thoughts still racing in his mind, tumbling over one another. There may be situations you can walk away from, times and places, but if it is yourself from which you seek to escape, how can you ever walk away from yourself? The frozen wasteland was much as they remembered it. The sky was tinged yellow with sulfur that got down into their throats and lungs, making breathing difficult as it scraped at the membrane, making each of them want to choke. Breathing was best if taken in shallow gasps. Deep lungfuls of air made them cough, sucking in more air, so that the urge to cough became greater, the circle harder to break. The chem clouds above them tinged the skies with yellow. Banks of snow, meters deep, were driven and formed against sheer rock by the force of the winds, the loose snow on top treacherous, the ice banked beneath waiting to trap them. There were exposed walls and inclines of rock, slippery with long strings and trails of moss and lichen that had been allowed to grow and prosper as the snows were scoured from them. All around, the earth had been broken by the shifting of the rock beds, new inclines, small mountain ranges, and recently formed volcanoes spewing the sulfur into the air, peppering the landscape to the horizon. There was little sign of any life that made its home in this unwelcoming terrain, and yet Ryan clearly recalled encountering wild bears on his first excursion into the wastes. There had also been some small communities and isolated trappers who had fallen prey to the Russian bandits. It was doubtful whether their deserted settlements would have been reclaimed by others. Even so, Ryan was still intent on keeping his people focused for any dangers that may be lying in wait. The floods caused by the breaking of the dam had done little to change this section of the Alaskan tundra. It would be another half-day's march through the oppressive weather conditions before they reached that spot. In the meantime, each of the companions could be lost in their own thoughts. Although they remained alert and aware, the atmosphere of the redoubt still weighed heavily on all of them. Mildred looked back to check that Doc was still following. The black figure, stark against the landscape, trudged through the snow, head held erect against the winds, eyes seemingly unblinking and wide, regardless of the wind and ice.
Damn it, old man.
Mildred was concerned. More than the others, she had some kind of grasp of what Doc had to be feeling. She too was out of time, and in a world for which he had been ill-prepared. The others had been born to this. It was all they had ever known. She, on the other hand, had been living in relative affluence and comfort in the late 20th century, before being anesthetized for a routine operation. If all had gone well, a few days, and she would have been recuperating at home, catching up on soaps and developing couch potato habits, before resuming work. Instead, she had awakened to a nightmare that was all the more terrifying for being real. Since that first moment, it had been fear, adrenaline, constant movement, and action, living on the brink of death. Perhaps life was always like that, but it wasn't something that the late 1990s had prepared her for. The stark choices of this new world were often not choices at all, but imperatives. Act first, ask questions later. What had her life become? These people with whom she traveled were closer to her than anyone she had ever known. With all the death and destruction around them, they had bonded with her in a way that no one else ever had. In many ways, she knew them as well as she knew herself. Yet still, they were as alien to her as she was to them. She frowned, keeping her eyes on the terrain, scanning constantly for any movement that might mean danger. What the hell had brought on this line of thinking? These were things she had never thought about before, and things that were in many ways pointless to consider. There had been downtime before, time in which they could stop and smell the roses, although come to think of it, she couldn't remember the last time she'd seen anything resembling a rose, but it had never led her to feeling this way. It had to be something she had caught from the others, particularly from Doc, a kind of melancholy that had spread over them. It was dangerous. If any of the others were still thinking like this, then they could be at less than triple red. God alone knew what could survive in conditions like this, but sure as hell something could, and it probably wouldn't like them intruding on its territory. As Ryan led the companions, things nagged at him in a way they hadn't before. Since his early days in Front Royal, he had been brought up as befitted a baron's son, albeit not the firstborn. He'd been taught to be a man of action, a man who could make snap decisions and be sure of his judgment. There were times when he had to think about what he was doing, when there were many arguments to weigh up. But for the most part, he had to trust his gut instinct, honed by years of experience, and act accordingly. But right now, he wasn't sure what that instinct was telling him. A feeling of unease had settled over him. He knew what the terrain and the weather conditions were like out here. They couldn't wait to get away last time they had landed in this pest hole. And yet, rather than jump immediately, he had decided to lead them out into the wasteland to try to head for the nearest settlement. Was he actually afraid of the Matrans? The things that had flashed through his mind during the jump were little more than fleeting impressions, vanishing like dreams, like the tendrils of mist that remained after a jump. And yet, they had triggered something within him. An uncertainty of how much more of the Matrans they could take. That had to have influenced his decision, as had the emotion stirred by landing back in a redoubt where they had experienced the loss of so many friends. The words exchanged with Christy the night before also nagged at his mind. What were they doing this for? Where were they going? Were they cursed in some way to wander forever and never to find peace? Ryan looked around him at the stark rocks, the deceptive snowbanks that looked solid, yet could suck you in meters deep. No sign of wildlife yet, but that growling instinct deep inside told him it was here somewhere. He couldn't afford to let these things take over his mind. He looked back over his shoulder at the others as they followed. All seemed to be lost in their own thoughts. All the more reason for him to stay on Triple Red. Jack looked up as Ryan turned back, and for a moment the albino's red eyes flashed as they met with the single blue orb of the man at their head. Ryan never looked back. He was always focused entirely on keeping alert to their surroundings. The fact that he was acting out of character just confirmed what Jack had been thinking. There was something very wrong with everyone. Something to do with landing in that particular Matrans. Jack hadn't been to this place before, but it was too cold for his liking. The food in the redoubt had been poor, and there hadn't been much of it. plenty of everything else, but not of anything that really mattered. And there wasn't much out here. His finely honed senses told him that there was some wildlife, but it kept out of the harsh conditions as much as was possible, emerging only to forage for food. Difficult to tell anything from smell, as the rank odor of the sulfur from the volcanoes around them overlaid everything, making it hard to distinguish scents. Jack could feel the air of gloom and despair that seemed to overlay everyone, but he didn't care. It would pass, like all things. Jack had seen those he cared about most taken from him. He had traveled in search of those who had perpetrated the deed and exacted revenge. And then it was over. Yes, he remembered. And yes, it hurt. But it didn't matter. There was nothing he could do about it. The only important thing was to stay alive. In many ways, Jack couldn't understand why the others seemed to be feeling and acting as they did. Things affected him, but he was always very sure of what was a priority. There was a time to think about such things, which was usually in the dark of the night. But not now. Not out here. If everyone else was going to allow themselves to be distracted by what they had felt back at the redoubt, then Jack was going to have to keep himself on triple red. For the rest of them, as much as for himself. JB was also uneasy. He knew how everyone else was feeling, he'd felt it himself, but now they were out in the wild, and it was time to cut the crap and get with the plan. If they were going to reach the settlement called Ankh Ridge, then they would have to set a strong pace. He looked up at the sky, pausing to wipe the ice from the lenses of his spectacles and to pull down the brim of his fedora. It would have made a little more sense to stow the hat away and use the hood on his coat. It had a snorkel like the one Mildred was wearing, but it would take a lot to dislodge the armorer from his beloved hat. It was a part of him, and if you couldn't be yourself, then what was the point of going on? Dark night. He couldn't believe that thought had just gone through his head. It was like some kind of mental virus that had spread through them, making them slack. They couldn't afford to be slack. Life was too precious, too easily snatched. Looking up at the clouds, he could see no indication of which part of the sky held the sun. He had a rough idea of their location, but they hadn't made Ankh Ridge last time they were here, and he really needed to get a reading so that they could plot a course. His hand went to the mini-sextant in one of his pockets, reassuringly feeling the contours. Once he could get a reading, then he would feel a little less anxious. The heavy clouds above them looked about ready to unleash a storm. Before that happened, he'd rather know exactly where he was. Unusually, he was in the center of the loose line. Another indication of how things had gone to shit this time out. They were in no fit condition to defend themselves if a danger arose, and this concerned him. But that wasn't all. It still rankled him that they had left so much behind in the armory. Blasters and ammo that weren't their usual weapons, but could have been useful. It was a constant struggle to keep their supplies in any kind of firefight-ready state. A few more blasters wouldn't have gone amiss, but no one had been willing to consider that, wrapped up in the gloom of the redoubt and their memories. For the most part, JB didn't know what they had to worry about. Looking ahead to Christy, Jack, and Ryan, he felt they were all at the same point. They were alive, and nothing else mattered. He kind of figured Jack may feel that way too. But it was when he looked behind him, at Mildred and Doc, that he truly wondered. None of them could imagine what Millie or the old man had been through. None of them could know what was going on in their heads. They could only hope that Mildred and Doc could keep it together. Together. That was the key. If they could keep together, they could get through this. Christy was sensitive to other people's moods. It was a blessing and a curse. Right now, it felt like the latter. There was an oppressive weight, like the clouds above them, she thought with a wry grin, that hung over the group. It had begun when they had realized where they were, and had worsened as they had moped around the redoubt, letting the memories get to them, letting the lack of activity cause them to dwell on what had gone before. But Mother Sonia had taught her that regrets were useless. The only thing to do was to use the mistakes, to use the past to learn, and move on. At least they were moving physically. Mentally, she wasn't so sure. She could still feel the overall mood, and it was still dark. It affected the others as much as it affected her, she was sure. It was merely that they were unaware of the subtle way in which it permeated them. It would pass. When something happened to jolt them from it, it would dissipate, and they would be themselves once more. Most of them. Maybe not Doc. Fragile at the best of times, coming back to where they had met Lori may have been too much for him. Doc worried her. She shivered from more than just the sub-zero temperature and pulled herself farther into the fur coat. Doc kept pace, but only physically. His eyes were staring ahead. But in truth, he didn't see the people walking ahead of him as anything more than a series of shapes. They maintained their size as long as he kept equidistant. Therefore, he adjusted his pace accordingly to theirs. It was simple. It allowed his mind to wander.
Lori.
So sweet, beautiful and blonde, with the most astoundingly long legs. Those eyes, always wide with amazement and wonder. He would talk to her, tell her things, and he was sure that she couldn't follow his discourse. Yet sometimes she would understand one thing, then a while after another.